This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 25th of November 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. As the highly popular Danish series The Bridge returns for a third series, we'll see if this groundbreaking programme is still at the top of its game. And if all that Scandinavian grit gets a bit much, a dose of fantasy as superhero Jessica Jones, based on the Marvel comic of the same name, is released on Netflix. And finally, the espionage story is given a different spin in London Spy, which features a couple of stellar British names in the cast. To make sense of it all, I'm joined by arts and entertainment journalist Alice Vincent from The Telegraph, right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Alice, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Now, I don't think there's anyone in the world, or certainly in this country, that hasn't seen The Bridge, but in case, can you give us a quick précis? Where are we so far?
So we're currently, The Bridge is formulaic with an approach to its series in that each one takes place a neat 13 months after the last. So we're now three seasons in. Without spoiling it for people who haven't seen it, there's the central character, Saga. She's got a new partner who is a new Danish detective and is quite sceptical of her. And unlike the previous two series, we have been introduced to a new deep and developing crime, which doesn't take place on the bridge. The previous two have. So we have moved off into warehouse territory. And it's incredibly Scandi. We've got sort of people in charge of gender neutral play groups and lesbian couples and dark and moody and, you know, the familiar scenes to those who like Nordic noir.
Well, the first two series, really pretty groundbreaking.
Right.
We hadn't really seen much like it here in Britain before. So this, the third one, you'd say, doesn't disappoint.
No, absolutely. I think what's interesting about it is that, as those who watch the show will know, is that Saga is, she's got hints of Asperger's about her. She's, as people would say, on the spectrum. And it's quite interesting to see a woman in that situation on TV who is the central character. And that's always been one of the Bridge's main appeals. In series three, we get to meet more about her family, her upbringing, her mother, and that really has an impact on her emotional and mental well-being. So although the murder mystery is very engrossing, you've also got this brilliant layer of character development on top of it.
So it's not just about crime solving, it's about human relationships and the very psyche of the protagonists.
Exactly, absolutely. Especially this new relationship between her and her new partner, who doesn't seem particularly convinced.
We're going to stop there because we might give it away. The Bridge is already aired in Scandinavia. It kicked off last week here in the UK, and you can look out for it on Saturday nights on BBC4. And just an interesting thing about the placement of that, because Saturday night, obviously a big, big television watching night. BBC4, though, less of a popular station.
Yeah, but the thing is that for BBC4, Nordic Noir and Scandi Drama has really elevated it as a channel that's sort of with dusty art programmes for the very high-minded into, you know, the source for, you know, actually a kind of gateway for European TV to come in. So if you want to avoid The X Factor and you want to avoid Strictly, head on to BBC for some dark and murky happenings.
Or you could head right off television entirely. Netflix is increasingly becoming a force to be reckoned with. It's not just a platform for movies, but it produces its own content too, throwing huge sums of money at original screenplays and making its own shows. Jessica Jones is not completely new, though. The character first appeared in Marvel Comics. Now, I hear the word comics and I instantly think light, as most people might do, but actually this has a dark psychological side to it too, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've moved from one psychologically troubled woman to another. I don't know what that says about my choice of TV at the moment. But so Jessica Jones, this is the second of Netflix's five Marvel adaptations. And so what they've done is Marvel and DC Comics have had a massive franchise on film over the last few years, but Netflix has picked it up for TV and really run with it. So Daredevil came out last year and again was very dark and moody. If you had poor you know, resolution on your laptop screen, you'll be suffering kind of thing. And Jessica Jones is a bit more accessible for those people who wouldn't normally touch a comic adaptation. Jessica herself is a, I mean, you could have a chat all day about, you know, why hard women have to be kind of the female version of a man. She's hard drinking, she's got her troubles, she beats people up, you know, but she is a fascinating character. And the show is actually written by a woman, and it's got really strong female protagonists. So it's definitely a good entry point for people who want to get into watching comics on TV.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Jessica Jones.
Kilgrave leaves a trail of broken people behind him.
He made me jump for hours as high as I could. He said I was never as good as you.
He's back. He's coming for me.
Let's start now.
No!
Jessica, I'm the only one who matches you. And we're inevitable.
Oh my God. God didn't do this. The devil did. Now I'm gonna find him.
And the relationship between those two, between the two protagonists, is really at the very heart of this, these two superheroes, or superhero and anti-hero, I suppose.
Right, exactly. And so David Tennant plays the antagonist, who, as the plot goes on, you'll realise is why Jessica gave up being a superhero. And it's an interesting move for David Tennant, because people who watch his career closely will realise that his last American project was on something called Grace Point, which was an adaptation of Broadchurch, which is kind of big over here on ITV, another murder mystery. And he completely fluffed it. He had this terrible kind of weird Kansan accent, and the whole series was canned. But he's really playing to his strengths here as the villain. He's very, very creepy. He appears to Jessica in a series of flashbacks. It's a while until we meet him. And, of course, within the context of New York, he's this suave Englishman. So certainly from, you know, that context as well, it's very interesting, you know, a real reversal on the classic gentleman character. Mm.
It's entertainment with a message, isn't it? There are several big issues addressed.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hold back on any punches. There's definitely kind of sexual consent described. There's feminism, there's violence. It's definitely beyond the kind of kapows and, or, you know, if you don't read comics, what you might think would be involved.
But having said that, of course, there are some jokes too.
Yeah, it's funny. This is the greatest thing about Jessica Jones herself. She is a funny character. Sometimes you can look at female tough women, you know, Annie Besarides from the latest series of True Detective comes to mind, and they're completely humourless. They're all about their drama and everything. But no, Jessica's the one with a gag. She's in control here.
Do you think that superheroes work as well on the small screen as they do on the big one, on the silver screen? They've been reigning supreme there for a while.
Yeah, they have. And that's partly due to the fact that superhero fans will love to go and spend their money and play into that world, and there's lots of money for special effects. Netflix doesn't hold back on its budgets, that's quite well known, but certainly with Jessica Jones, and to a lesser extent with Daredevil, is that they're not there with the big showy CGI. This is character-driven TV. And I think if you focus more on them as people rather than, you know, how many buildings can they smash into, it works really well.
Well, Jessica Jones is available to watch worldwide on Netflix. And finally, another spy drama. But London Spy isn't your usual fodder. It's probably the first time that a gay romance has been central to such a drama. Would you say?
Yeah, I think so. The really interesting thing about London Spy is that it seems to be fittingly like the Marmite of spy TV at the moment. You can either, if you're kind of a John le Carré type and into the classic cloak and dagger situation, you're going to find it very slow and very full of ennui and kind of long conversations and no pace and no drama. But if you don't mind that, then you'll find yourself being sucked into this very intricate, completely backtracking, bizarre plot. And yeah, it's just dealing with a lot of really interesting issues.
And it couldn't be further from the James Bond type of spy thriller we've been used to, could it?
No. I mean, for a start, we've got some really interesting interpretations of masculinity on the show. I mean, there's obviously a lot of male characters. You've got Ben Whishaw, who's sort of central to the plot as his character, who's been found in the middle of this, you know, of this murder crime, basically. And then... and then Jim Broadbent is his sort of mentor, and as the show goes on, you learn about his past, then all of it is, you know, there are some intricate stories about, you know, the male condition, about homosexual men, which are, as you say, rare on TV and fascinating to watch, as long as you're not looking for 007 anywhere.
Let's listen to a little bit from London Spy.
He never spoke about his work.
What did you talk about?
Everything else.
I see. No, I don't see at all.
Well, what did you two talk about? Outside of work?
We didn't. Look, try to understand. I was sure, absolutely certain, that he was going to change the world in some way. Not my world, the world. Can you imagine the enormity of that feeling, being in the company of someone like that?
And that's a preview from next Monday's episode of London Spy. There are a couple of great names in the cast. Jim Broadbent was one you mentioned.
Right, so Jim Broadbent, Ben Whishaw, who, I mean, personally I'm a fan anyway, but he's becoming increasingly established, and a lot of people are saying that this is the one he's going to be vying for a BAFTA for. You've also got Charlotte Rampling, who plays this kind of icy, cold, brilliant interpretation of a rich old English lady. Mark Gatiss, who from Sherlock and Doctor Who makes an appearance, is a really kind of repellent, slimy character. It's just an astounding cast, and every single episode there's sort of someone else who pops up for 5 minutes and goes away again.
Adrian Lester, there you go.
I mean, there's too many almost to name, but And beyond that, there's sort of the treatment of issues as well. There's a lot of gay sex, there's drugs, there's Whitehall, there are these beautiful treatment of London where you won't see a tourist attraction in sight, but if you are a Londoner or familiar with the city, it kind of tugs on the heartstrings a little bit. Mm. So, yeah.
Just going back to The Bridge now and having a look at a comparison between London Spy and The Bridge, do they have a similar feeling in terms of the visuals?
Well, I think that, you know, the things that compare kind of Copenhagen and London is that we are, you know, we can be quite dingy places. It feels like there's been a grey wash applied to everything. It's certainly both a series that excel brilliantly at this time of year when all you really want to do is cosy up inside. With the exception, you know, there's more tube scenes in London Spy. But that's probably about as lively and as exciting as you're going to get.
The penultimate episode of London Spy will be broadcast next Monday at 9 p.m. on BBC Two. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of today's show. Alice Vincent from The Telegraph, thanks very much for joining me in the studio. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer was Holly Fisher, and my researchers were Fernando Augusto Pacheco and Tony Meiserhauser. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review. But for now, thanks very much for listening.